One of our leading authorities on the Anzac landing is Robin Pryor, author of Gallipoli, The End of the Myth. He's joining us along with Robert Mann, Professor of Politics at La Trobe University in Melbourne. Gentlemen, welcome to Between the Lines.
Good to be here.
Robin, let's start with you. Although your book is about the political and military aspects of the Gallipoli campaign, I wonder why you think Australians are still so attached to remembrance of Gallipoli.
It's a good question, Tom. A lot of historians are asking each other this very question in these weeks leading up to Anzac Day, and I don't think anybody has a definitive answer. Perhaps it was the first campaign. We briefly appeared as a country in the end of the Boer War, but this was the first large appearance of Australia on the world stage. Perhaps that's it. Perhaps it's the setting. Young men dashing ashore from boats in the night.
Yeah, well, I think just adding to what Robin was saying, the story was right from the first riveting to the Australian public, largely through a report of Ashmead Bartlett, an English journalist. And it really gave the sense that Australia was born as a nation because it had shown itself in the eyes of the United Kingdom or Britain to be not, as it were, compromised by the convict stain, but courageous, manly, effective military. And I think from that moment on, it has always remained as the story in which partly the nation began to think of itself as having been born, and partly the Australian character was shown to the world for what it was. And in a way, that the story's been told, but it's been told so many times and played different roles that it's become part of what I call collective memory, which is almost anti-historical because it wants to tell a moral tale and a fable about the nation rather than to get the facts right.
Yeah, Robin, that's right, isn't it? I mean, the story of Gallipoli has changed over time. I mean, different generations have perceived Gallipoli, Anzac Day especially, in different ways, haven't they?
They have. At one point, in the 1930s in particular, Gallipoli was thought of as the great imaginative operation of the war. The other generals were slugging it out on the Western Front, while we were perhaps seeking a way to end the war quickly through Gallipoli. Then you've got the 1960s. Alan Seymour, One Day of the Year, the Gallipoli marches almost die out. Then you get the 70s, where you got military things being contested because of Vietnam, paint thrown at soldiers, all of that, and it looked as though that was the end of Anzac Day.
Segment 1.
One of our leading authorities on the Anzac landing is Robin Pryor, author of Gallipoli, The End of the Myth. He's joining us along with Robert Mann, Professor of Politics at La Trobe University in Melbourne. Gentlemen, welcome to Between the Lines.
Good to be here.
Robin, let's start with you. Although your book is about the political and military aspects of the Gallipoli campaign, I wonder why you think Australians are still so attached to remembrance of Gallipoli.
It's a good question, Tom. A lot of historians are asking each other this very question in these weeks leading up to Anzac Day, and I don't think anybody has a definitive answer.
Segment 2.
Perhaps it was the first campaign. We briefly appeared as a country in the end of the Boer War, but this was the first large appearance of Australia on the world stage. Perhaps that's it. Perhaps it's the setting, young men dashing ashore from boats in the night.
Yeah, well, I think just adding to what Robin was saying, the story was right from the first riveting to the Australian public, largely through a report of Ashmead Bartlett, an English journalist.
Segment 3.
And it really gave the sense that Australia was born as a nation because it had shown itself in the eyes of the United Kingdom or Britain to be not, as it were, compromised by the convict stain, but courageous, manly, effective military. And I think from that moment on, it has always remained as the story in which partly the nation began to think of itself as having been born, and partly the Australian character was shown to the world for what it was. And in a way that the story's been told, but it's been told so many times and played different roles that it's become part of what I call collective memory, which is almost anti-historical because it wants to tell a moral tale and a fable about the nation rather than to get the facts right.
Yeah.
Segment 4.
Robin, that's right, isn't it? I mean, the story of Gallipoli has changed over time. I mean, different generations have perceived Gallipoli, Anzac Day especially, in different ways, haven't they?
They have. At one point, in the 1930s in particular, Gallipoli was thought of as the great imaginative operation of the war. The other generals were slugging it out on the Western Front while we were perhaps seeking a way to end the war quickly through Gallipoli. Then you've got the 1960s. Alan Seymour, One Day of the Year, the Gallipoli marches almost die out. Then you get the 70s, where you got military things being contested because of Vietnam, paint thrown at soldiers, all of that, and it looked as though that was the end of Anzac Day.